This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, you are listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. While our station may have played jazz music by Australian musicians on shows like Blue Notes and Now Take Five, we haven't had many of them live on air. One of the last, back on September 25th last year, was Victoria Newton from Western Australia, although she was born in Canada. And today we have a couple of fair dinkum Aussie jazz musicians, also from Western Australia. They are part of a larger group called Adam Hall and the Velvet Playboys. Adam is accompanied by Mark Turner. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
So firstly, how large is this group of jazz musicians? How many Velvet Playboys are there?
There's six jazz musicians. We have trumpet, saxophone, trombone, guitar, keyboard, piano, bass and drums.
What would you say are kind of the essential instruments for a jazz band? What makes up a jazz band?
Jazz can be everything. Jazz can be anything. There's some people that believe, you know, real jazz music is anything that includes a banjo. There's some people that believe real jazz music is anything that doesn't include a banjo. There's groups that have drums in it. There's groups that have keyboards in it. There's groups that are just vocals. There is no other instruments in it. There's brass band groups. Jazz can be all different sorts of things. For us, we like the lineup that we have. We love the rhythm section and the horns. Yeah.
And how did this configuration kind of come together? What brought it together?
In the initial stages, when I put the group together, the thought was to have obviously vocals and some sort of rhythm section, and then I tried just no horns, and then I thought it needed something, so we added one horn. And one horn still sounds like, you know, just one musician doing something themselves. And so then you think, to actually have a proper part to make it sound like there's actually something really happening, I think two horns is really the you know, makes it sound really substantial. Sounds like there's a rhythm section and there's a whole other horn section doing something else as well. Yeah.
And considering that jazz is one of those genres and words that can mean a lot and can mean different things to different people, where are you coming from in terms of your direction? What is your jazz, so to speak?
Obviously the Velvet Playboys name comes from early Ray Charles. One of Ray Charles's first bands was a band called the Florida Playboys, and there isn't actually recorded history of them, but just other than Ray Charles saying that he was part of it. And so Ray Charles is a huge influence from where we started. We don't play so much of his music now, but it's definitely that vintage, that sort of 1950s, 1960s. And we play really early stuff as well. We play early like New Orleans music, and we play swing music as well. A lot of swing dancers get involved. And then our most recent show that we did in Australia was a show about soul music, about music of Marvin Gaye, and had a wonderful US artist come down, Richard Jackson, and he sung some songs, and we had James Brown, Motown music and all that sort of stuff as well. So we sort of have branched out a lot from the early days of just sort of Ray Charles in the 50s and 60s, but that's sort of the style that we are. Yeah.
And those different forms of music, are you kind of experimenting, reinterpreting it through the lens of jazz? Are you playing them? You know, what are you trying to find when you're exploring those different modes of music?
We don't necessarily think of ourselves as jazz musicians. We just think of ourselves as musicians. A lot of us come to music from jazz, so we bring our influence, but I certainly don't. I don't think of myself as a jazz musician. I just think of myself as a musician, and we don't have an intention about reinterpreting music to play it any particular way. We like to think of many different ways to interpret the music, and we rehearse it and come up with the ideas from there. But there's, Yeah. So when you listen to our concerts, we play everything from like early 1920s Charleston type stuff to, you know, really modern sort of R&B influenced stuff as well. So we don't hold ourselves to a particular period and say we have to play this, and if we don't, we're not true jazz musicians or anything like that.
I guess we play music that we love.
Yeah.
Love to listen to, and that, you know, that we've always loved, and as a band collectively, we all enjoy playing those songs.
Yeah, that would be the best way to if someone asked me what genre we are, it's all the music that we like to play.
And right, just kind of thrown together.
Yeah, but we find that it's an interesting listen because there's just so much different. You couldn't complain that there wasn't enough different styles. You know, it's this. Yeah, we sort of get through a few things. It's good.
Could you give us kind of a quick sample of the kind of music you play or how you sound when you're playing? Admittedly, there are only two of you here, but
yeah.
Just a sample.
Yeah, this is a very abbreviated version. So just imagine a lot more horns and a lot more, just a lot more
everything.
People involved. Yeah, a lot more everything, exactly. We'll do maybe something slow to start with. Maybe
sure.
World on a String.
Yeah.
This is a great old standard. This is sort of more of a doo-wop type thing, but should give you some idea. Yeah. I've got the world on a string. I'm sitting on a rainbow. Got that thing around my finger. What a world, what a life. I'm in love. I've got this song that I can sing, and I can make the rain go anytime I move my crazy little finger. Lucky me, can't you see? Whoa, oh, I'm in love. Life's a wonderful thing, as long as we swing. Silly so-and-so, if I should ever let it go. So ba 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 do ba. Yes, I got the world on a string. I'm sitting on a rainbow. I got that thing around my crazy little finger. Oh, what a world. Oh, what a life. I'm in love. Could give it a little ting-a-ling. And if you could only find that thing, then we'd swing like Bing. So ba 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 do ba. Yes, I got the world on a string. I'm sitting on a rainbow. I got that thing around my crazy little finger. Oh, what a world. Oh, what a life. What a world. What a life, I'm in love.
Thank you. I would clap, but that would sound silly, one person clapping. I was noticing the kinds of interactions that you guys have when you play. How does that come together? I mean, how do you kind of find that chemistry?
Play together a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah, you play together a lot. And, it's trust. It's a lot of trust. It's a belief that whatever happens, it's going to be good. So, the more you play together, there's so many evidences in all different types of music. But a lot of my favorite musicians, they have a consistent band that they've had for years and years and years, and they never change the members. And any one of the members are pretty good, But when they come together as a group, it's own thing. It's more than the sum of its parts. Whether you look at Stevie Wonder or, you know, any of the other artists, the consistency means that it's just a different feeling. It's a completely different feeling.
Yeah. And we're all friends as well. Like we all hang out as well outside of the band. We'll all stick around after the gig and spend time together. I mean, we've just spent probably the last 2 months working together, living together on the road for the last month, and so we all know how each other works, and we all enjoy being around each other. So, and that comes together on stage as well, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, most definitely.
I'm speaking today with Adam Hall and Mark Turner of Adam Hall and the Velvet Playboys. Up next, we find out more about the instrumentation involved as well as how Beyonce enters the picture. You are listening today to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Flying high, you know how I feel. Sun up in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin, and I'm joined in the studio today by Adam Hall and Mark Turner of Adam Hall and the Velvet Playboys, and we're talking about your brand of music. So earlier, Adam, we heard you sing, and we're hearing this now. Mark, is that you?
Yes, that's me.
Okay, so do you guys take turns on vocals?
Yeah, we do a nice little balance. I mean, most of the time, Adam takes the reins, and that's great. And I've got a few little songs that I've written, and I feel like Feeling Good is a song that I did on this new album. So, yeah, it's nice. I think everyone in the band sort of gets a little feature, which is kind of nice. It's we all take it in turns to do our own little thing and bring our own spice to the band, which is nice.
Yeah, we sing some duets as well, and then the other great thing about having so many singers is that you can do a lot of the doo-wop stuff with where you have, you know, a lead vocalist and then maybe three other people singing like a background harmony, like Ray Charles and the Raelettes, or you know, any of the Stevie Wonder stuff. Or
earlier you mentioned the picking of the music's kind of just based on what you guys like to play, what you guys like to listen to. When it comes to original material, how do you write?
It comes from all different places. So sometimes for me, like, I'll be having a conversation with someone and someone will say like a sentence that I'm like, wow, that means something, or that was a really funny sentence or what, and then I'll use that to turn into a whole long song. Other times I'll be listening to a series of chords, or I'll be listening to a particular band play, and then that will be the influence. But yeah, it's for me, it starts from all different places. I don't know. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I write very, like, if I'm feeling something, it'll pour out of me in a song or whatever. Or yeah, I mean, I don't write songs that fast, so generally it'll happen and then the song will just explode out, and then I won't write again for a few months. But
it's the same. Yeah, it's kind of always good to write whenever you have something, because it's very difficult if someone comes to you and says, we need you to write five songs right now. It's like, oh, I have maybe half a song right now. I don't even have,
And what's that like, introducing a song that you have to the band? I mean, is it kind of worked on together, or do you usually, when you introduce the songs to one another, they're relatively fully formed?
Yeah, relatively fully formed, but it's always great to leave a lot of space in the rehearsal for influence and for people to contribute to it, because there's always other ways of viewing it, and particularly, you know, like I feel like the best person to ask about guitar related issues would be Mark, and the best person to ask about trumpet stuff will be me, and the best person to ask about drum stuff will be Matt, and so it, rather than sort of come in and say, I want you to do this and you have to do that, because like usually the musicians themselves have great ideas about their instrument and what they can do and what they can't do, you know. So
Adam, you play quite a few instruments, trombone, alto sax, piano, and then, okay, I'm going to try to get euphonium, mellophonium.
Yes.
And while most of us would be familiar with the first three, the euphonium and the mellophonium are perhaps a little more, need a bit of introduction. Could you help us out with that?
So euphonium's one of the ones where the bell is pointing upwards, so the end of the actual horn is pointing upwards, and you play it with three vowels, sometimes four. And the mellophonium is an old marching band instrument, and a lot of them were popular in the United States. So they have a very funny shape. It's like a straight French horn. So a French horn sort of usually curves around and faces backwards, but in this case, the mellophonium sort of, it winds around on itself, and then the big flared bell points straight out. And a lot of the American instruments have, they'll have a straight version of a euphonium and a straight version of a tuba, like, which is the sousaphone, it's the one that wraps around. But they make sure that the air is always pointing forward because it's always an acoustic instrument, and they're trying to, there's obviously an audience sort of thing, so... mellophonium is one of those. There was a big band that actually had a mellophonium section called the Stan Kenton Big Band. But, yeah, there is such a thing as too much brass instruments.
We don't say that often, though.
We don't say that often, but I think once you get to 20, that's sort of, you're hitting a good number, I think, yeah.
What interested you in trying out sort of different brass instruments for different sounds?
Well, I think for everyone in the band, like Mark, actually performs with the saxophone and the guitar and flute as well. And for me, playing different instruments is... I really pick one instrument to focus on, and then if there's a need or a call for more instruments or something else to be happening, then I'll do that. But for me, it's always just about the music. You know, if it's relevant and I don't bring all the instruments with me just to show the audience all the different stuff I can play. For me, it's like if the music actually has a place for it, that it actually sounds good. So, for instance, we play a song from the Jungle Book called I Want to Be Like You. And, you know, there's a part at the start of that, and we started playing around with it, and, you know, the saxophone sounded too much, you know. So we thought, I think flute would be the right instrument here, you know, like it just needs to be lighter. And so it's always the music telling you what to play rather than you sort of going, well, now I'm going to play mellophonium, now I'm going to play euphonium, now I'm going to play piano or whatever it might be. You let the music speak to you rather than you speak to it, sort of thing, you know.
How do you hear for that according to the different instruments that you play? I mean, speaking as a non-musician, how do you hear the need within the song for, okay, this is the moment for a flute. I think this is where this would go. This is where that would go.
Well, it's just creating different texture in music. And I think if we speak of specific examples like the one in the Jungle Book, for instance, it has two distinct different drum patterns that go with it. So the drum pattern was there and we were listening to it, and it all sounded good. Like, it wasn't like the saxophone sounded bad. It was more just listening to it, you're like, I think we could go somewhere else on this. And for instance, like, Mark plays between guitar and saxophone, so some songs you want to have a heavier edge to it, so the guitar's really the appropriate instrument for it, and then other songs you don't want all that heavier edge to it, and you want more of a harmony line with the trombone, and so you think of that. But yeah, it's I mean, these are just our own feelings and thoughts. There's not a musician's handbook that says you must use, you know, this and you must use that sort of thing. You know, this is just our own experience.
Yeah, in the same way, I guess you pick what clothes you're going to put on in the morning, and maybe it doesn't work, and you try something else. In the same way, we try different instrumentation until it fits, until we all like it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we don't. Yeah, there's not a one size fits all policy. Yeah. Definitely in our music. Yeah.
Earlier, you played us a sort of older standard. You know, am I being greedy if I ask if you have any other songs?
Sure. We can play something really modern for you now. This is a song from Michael Jackson. This is our own version of it, though. So please, no complaints that it's not exactly like the original. Remembering that we only have two musicians in here too. So. This is the way you make me feel.
Two, three.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
hey, pretty baby, with the high heels on. You give me feelings like I've never, ever known. I'm such a product of your loveliness, and I like the feeling of your walk, your talk, your dress. I feel your feel from miles around, and pick you up in my car and go pick the town. Just kiss me, baby, and tell me twice that you're the one for the way you make me feel. You really turn me on. You knock me off my feet now, baby. Hey, 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 hey. My lonely days are
would be that plus four. Is that
four.
Right?
Okay. Yes.
That is a lot of sound.
Yes. That's, we like to be a shock and awe type band. We like to no, not really.
What do you enjoy playing songs that are recognizable? I mean, is that something that I suppose it has its own challenges and its own sort of little victories as well to play songs that are widely known?
Yeah, I it's we like, yeah, in one of the cases that we took, there was a I was listening to a lot of stuff on the radio, and I heard some of Beyonce's album that came out, and I was like, oh gee, that sounds like a New Orleans street beat. And people were like, that's not a New Orleans street beat. And I was like, it is a New Orleans street beat. And so I wrote an arrangement of Single Ladies to prove the point that it was actually a New Orleans street beat, and you could adapt it quite very, very easily. And a lot of the music that she put out on an album seemed to be music from that obviously added a lot of synthesizers and stuff to make it sound more modern. But the fundamental of it was it was either like soul music from the 60s, or it was, you know, New Orleans street music, or and it had those roots. And so I thought, well, you know, let's write some arrangements of these things and see what happens. And so when we approach that, when we look at, you know, doing those type of things, it's usually from an inspiration point. We don't just sort of pick any random song and say, let's try and create a vintage version of this song. It's more, yeah, again, it's the music kind of speaking to you and sort of, you know, you sort of hear a different interpretation of it. But it's not like we walk in and say, let's pick an Ed Sheeran song and try and do that, or let's pick a, you know, John Mayer song and try and do that. It's more the music speaking to us. Yeah.
Well, we can give people a side-by-side comparison here. They might remember this song. So that was Destiny's Child and Bootylicious, and this is what came of that.
Adam, can you handle this?
Jimmy, can you handle this?
Marky, can you handle this?
I don't think they can handle this.
Woo! Barely move, with her eye. Looking sexy, looking fly. Bad skies, guys inside.
So can you kind of take us through that? I mean, what were the bare bones of Bootylicious that called out to you for the arrangement?
Well, it was actually we'd written all the other arrangements for the show that we were going to do a collection of vintage. In fact, you played some of our version of Crazy in Love earlier, and yeah, we'd written all the arrangements, and a lot of it was female vocals and. And we thought we should have a couple of male ones in there as well. But I was just thinking about it. I was like, it would be really cool to do the Destiny's Child thing, which is such a favorite of you know, females, and see if we can do like a male version of it that doesn't sound like it sounds like it's its own version. It doesn't sound like it's oh, you've just basically taken everything and just done, you know, just done a male version sort of thing. We changed, we worked on the lyrics and we worked on some things to make it, you know, gender specific to males, you know. And so, yeah, we have a lot of fun with that song, actually. Yeah. We get a lot of requests for that song. You know, we'll be playing like the most sophisticated jazz concert and people are just like, you can hear them yelling out and you're like, what are you yelling? And they're like, Bootylicious! And you're like, oh, geez, this song again.
You can't deny Beyonce.
No, you can't.
It's also one of our most popular clips on YouTube. We did a film clip of it out in the desert in Australia. So you can find that on YouTube if you YouTube Adam Hall, Bootylicious.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
there's a fair amount of, you could say, Aussie humour in this. And being Australians, you know, what do you bring to your music that you'd consider kind of inherently Australian? Or do you just think of yourselves as musicians and, you know, where you're from doesn't kind of factor in?
Oh, no, definitely it factors in. Like, we noticed that we obviously like to have a joke and have some fun. Mm. But there's also a lot of hard work that goes into what we do as well. So it's kind of we like coming off stage and sweating and looking like we've actually worked for what we've done. But we also like to come off stage with a big smile on our face as well. So it's the classic. It's really classically Australian, really. It's to work really, really hard, but also to have a great time while you're doing it, you know.
Yeah, we put in a lot of energy and love into what we do, and I think that shows. Yeah.
Yeah, it's those are two great hallmarks of, you know, of sort of the Australian work ethic, is to work really, really hard, but to also enjoy yourself while you're doing it, you know.
And since you've played here and in Singapore as well, how would you describe how music listeners are in both countries? You know, not that I'm putting you on the spot and, you know, making you compare us to Singapore, but yeah, how has it been?
Well, it's really, really interesting. It's hard for me to get too specific about it, because I always struggle to tell who's an expat or who's a tourist that's just come, or who's been living here for 30 years. And, you know, and you walk up to them and you think, oh, gee, this is someone who's only just, and they're like, no, I've been living here for the last 35 years. You're like, oh, okay, right, I had no idea. So that I really struggle to be too generic in what I think, but I have found that in terms of the audiences, that the enthusiasm is really, really there. I would say it's pretty universal around the world. There's places we play in Berlin that we were just at, and from the opening song, it's a sit-down venue, by the way, but from the opening song, people get up, stand up, dance down the front, and you can't stop them. I mean, you can ask them, but they're not going to listen to you. They're going to do whatever they want to do. And then there's other audiences that are more inclined to sit there and watch. But I wouldn't say that either one is more enthusiastic about the music. We've played some amazing places in Singapore and KL too, where you're sitting there and the audience has been very nice and they've been clapping politely all evening and you're like, oh, I don't know how well this has gone. And you come off stage and they're like, that was so amazing. And then they'll recount the song. They'll recount, oh, I love the solo you played on this. I love the sound of that. So you can never tell. You can never tell. You can never say, well, because someone's dancing around that they're into it more, or because someone's sitting down that they're into it less. People are enthusiastic, wherever you go. And they always pick up things that you don't even notice. Like we crack jokes on stage and have fun with each other. And I never remember them. But people are like, oh, between the sixth and seventh song, you said the funniest thing. You know that line you said? And I'm like, I don't know what you, I don't, you
but
know,
thank you, can, you. You.
But thank you. Yeah, I'm sharing this with you, but I don't really know. They listen so intently, a lot more than what you sort of internalize. So, I mean, mostly we just try and have a good time and let them, every audience member, have their own experience of it, however they wish to, you know.
And finally, in terms of putting the show together here and the playlist, what can people expect? You know, what was that process like?
We'll play a lot of stuff from our latest album, With You. And that's one of the latest videos that we have on YouTube as well. And we'll play, there's a lot of original repertoire that will come up there. And we'll do a nice amount of songs from Michael Jackson. I'm sure we'll get some Beyonce in there as well. All About That Bass, a bit of Meghan Trainor will get in there as well. And our usual repertoire of original music and we'll just play a combination of just fun songs and we like to say when we play it's like we have a party time, so that's what we're going to be doing. We'll be having a party.
It's going to be great. I mean, we cover every sort of genre basically in a way, from the early swing stuff, and we put a lot into like Louis Prima and a lot of, you know, Frank Sinatra style songs, but then we go right up to the modern stuff, which is, you know, we really love playing all that stuff. So it's fun for us because it's every song is different and it's like a journey in a way.
Yeah, there's no Black Tie is a smaller venue, but there's no restrictions on people. They can get into it however they want to. We will be doing it, so we won't hold any judgment over them, you know.
Adam Hall and the Velvet Playboys will be performing tonight and only tonight, just at a one-night stand at No Black Tie at 9 o'clock with a cover charge of 50 ringgit. They're here under the sponsorship of the Australian High Commission. And this Friday at No Black Tie, there'll be another Australian under the same sponsorship who will take the stage, Michael Pinegi, drummer, composer, band leader, arranger and producer, collaborating with three local artists, Yi Jing, Daniel Fung and Horchi Singh. But in the meantime, tonight it'll be Adam Hall and the Velvet Playboys. And gentlemen, if you could play us out.
Sure. So speaking of our original repertoire, this is one of our original songs from our Blue album called When It's Party Time Down South. Let's have a party, dance little naughty in the sun. With boys in suits, girls looking cute with their party dresses on. And then we drink that wine, we dance second line out in the heat. When it's party time down south, yeah, party time down south. And the tuba glides, trombone slides, and the tenor sings. With a snare drum and crash, hit the boom bash, and the trumpet it rings. And the task, you may ask, is to get the bees. When it's party time now, sir, party time now, sir.
get away through the day. Ain't no time for stopping. It's time for the Velvet Playboys to make some noise. This joint is popping. Our cares and troubles, they may double, but it's not today. When it's party time now, so yeah. Party time now, so I say, laissez-les bon sang rouler. I say, Silver VI. I say, BFM, BFM Radio. I say, come on, foie, pink guitar. But it's sound ourselves. Our cares and troubles, they may double, but it's not today. When it's party time down south. Party time, party time. Hey, hey.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.